Get started. We're going to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. I thank you, Lord, for each and every student in the class, those who are online, Lord God. I just trust, Lord God, that this year is going to be an awesome year for all the second-year students. We have some returning alumni who is back sitting in on the classes, Lord God. So I just thank you right now, Lord God, that as we embark on this journey, Lord God, of the spirit of honor, that we all learn how to walk in honor humbly and receive the blessing, Lord God, that you have for us, and that we may reach the destiny that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As some of you may know, my name is Reverend Calhoun, Reverend Greg Calhoun. I will be teaching this class this semester. The subject of this class is the spirit of honor. I just want to share some preliminary things, and you already said you had your book. I want you just to go ahead and start reading the first couple of chapters. Everything that I'm teaching is going to be coming pretty much directly from the book. There's going to be a few areas where we're going to be talking about pride and loyalty, where there's some supplemental books that I pulled from. And when we get to those, I'll let you know what the book says ahead of time. So if you want to get the book, you can. But you don't, because we're only going to be covering those for maybe 1 or 2 weeks at the most. But I will be touching some stuff on pride and loyalty. Loyalty is more the second semester. Pride will be this semester. Also, I want you to, not everything, and not this is just not for my class, but especially for the apostles' class. Not everything that you're going to hear, you're going to absorb in one sitting. So I want to encourage you to go back. You have the unique opportunity to go back and look at the classes online. You know, so avail yourself to that. You know, if you miss something in your notes or something you didn't hear, go back and listen to it, either online or on Roku. How many people have a Roku player and watch this? I know mostly everybody have one now. If you don't, you know, you're behind the times. Because, I mean, that's where we, all the word we get, you can get it from Roku now. Let me move on. This class here, and really all the classes, we're undergirding the apostle. So what you're learning in this class will help enable you to better receive on tomorrow night when the apostle teaches. So all I am is just, you know, like when Moses the children of Israel was in a battle, and Moses had his hands up, and as long as his hands was up, they were winning, and there were armor bearers just holding him up. So I'm just holding up the apostle. You know, I'm undergirding him. So what you're going to be learning in this class is going to help you to better to receive from the apostle. Amen. And that's what it's all about. We're here submitting completely and totally to the apostolic. Amen. If you have any questions throughout the semester, you can email the website that we have here. That's not going to be a problem. I'll try to hurry up and definitely answer those questions as soon as possible. Also, too, this is a large class. You only have a few seats that's vacant. Thank God for that. I want to see the same amount of students the week before graduation. In other words, I don't want to see nobody falling off the truck. You know, if you feel like you're falling off, get back on the truck. Help somebody pull me back on here, because whenever you build a house, you need a conference call, so make sure you have everything you need in order to finish the project. And you see, this is the second semester. The enemy is going to come after you in all kind of ways to try to pull you away. You know, or try to say, well, you know, you can do this later. But no, God has you here for an appointed time. And it's so very important that you finish the race. Because even after graduation, it's really just the beginning. I'm going to just be honest with you. You know, I was a student some 26, 27 years ago at the charter class. So I'm speaking from experience. You know, I want to see the same numbers. I want to encourage you. I remember years ago there were people who didn't finish their second semester. I called them up and emailed them and encouraged them to come back the previous semester just to finish up, and two people did, and I thank God for that. All right, with all that said, the bottom line, all I was saying in that last statement is stay with me, amen. All right, this class, I just want to welcome you, the spirit of honor. Each class session will focus on
on honor, on what honor is and what honor is not. How to properly walk in honor. You know, honor is an area, if you came up from traditional circles, that you didn't hear a whole lot of talk about. You know, it was almost like we all were just equal. We're all members of the body of Christ. But that's really not the case. God has set first apostles, secondary prophets, you know, and then the fivefold ministry gifts. And it's so very important that we know how to honor the men and the women of God that God has placed under us. Because if you don't honor properly, you're not going to receive. You know, and that's so very important that you recognize and understand that. The first point I want to start off with is information plus revelation equals impartation. Information plus revelation equals impartation. You must receive the information, but without getting the revelation, there will be no impartation. And without impartation, there will be no anointing and no manners released upon your life. So what you want is you want, number one, you're getting information. And then you meditate and you ask God, give me now the revelation behind all this information. So now that once I have the revelation, I have an impartation. And that's something that's mine. And then once you have that impartation, now you become a candidate to walk in him, to walk in the mantle of God. You know, you want the mantle in the mantle of honor the apostles of God. You know, and that's what honor will instruct you to do, to be able to walk in what you see how man of God walk. By learning how to honor God. Amen. All right, with that said, this one of the things also in my classes, I forgot to make a statement, but I know the online students have to take the quizzes. It's not required for the students in the class. You know, am I right? But I'm encouraging you, and you can talk to some alumni. They'll let you know it would be to your best benefit to take the class, the quizzes, because a lot of my test questions won't be pulled from those quizzes. So if you get the quizzes right, guess what? You're going to get the exams right. You know, avail yourself to those quizzes. Amen? All right. There is no greater seed. This is what I'm about to say. There's no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. You know, it's going to produce the greatest level of harvest in your life than any other seed. So make sure you understand that principle. There is no greater seed than an honor seed. It will produce the greatest level of harvest in your life, greater than any other seed that you can sow. And that's so very important that we understand that because honor is the atmosphere that we breed in the apostolic. Just like a fish has gills and they breathe oxygen out of the water through their gills, in God's apostolic government, honor is the atmosphere that we breathe. If you want to strive, survive, and be blessed, you have to know how to breathe in honor. And when I say breathe it in, it's knowing that it's you know, when you breathe, it that comes naturally. You don't think about it. Well, you see, honor and honoring the apostolic should come naturally. It shouldn't be something you even have to think about. You know, the Bible says that the less is blessed because of the better. That's Hebrews 7:7. Another thing I forgot to share with you. A lot of times I'll quote scriptures. I might say turn to a scripture, and I might just start reading it. You know, because of the sake of time, I'm not going to give you 20 seconds to find it. So all I encourage you to do is write it down. You can sit and go back and look it up or rewatch it or listen to it on the internet. But honor is the atmosphere that we need. And we need to do that without even thinking about it. People without honor are usually, give you an example. In the military, there's something known as a dishonorable discharge. In other words, how many people have served in the military? Anybody here? Well, there's in the military, there's ranks, there's levels, and there's protocol. Not everybody is on the same level. I'm a kind of a Marine brat because my dad was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps back in the early 50s. And so coming up as a kid, I grew up on the military protocol. You know, up at a certain time, I had responsibilities I had to do, you know, as a man, you know, certain things I was just expected to do or else there was consequences. You know, well, you see, in the apostolic, there's all. There's what is called divine law. And it's so very important that we understand all, understand ranks, understand levels, understand protocol. Because all of that has, it all fits in, into the scheme of honor. Because in the military, if you're walking down a corridor and a superior officer is walking towards you, you stop and you salute that person. That's giving honor to whom honor is due because that person earned that right. Okay? Well, in the apostolic, God places his anointing on whom he chooses. And when God places his anointing on a man or a woman of God, as children of God, you know, because we're in God's army. It's important that we understand that we're to honor. You know, when the man of God comes into the sanctuary, your pastor, I'm talking from an apostolic point of view, but any church or any pastor that's connected to the apostolic, you know, and not just from a spiritual point of view, but also even in the natural. When the president comes into a room, everybody stands up because they're giving honor to whom honor is due. And what I'm going to do today, I'm just kind of take my time, and I'm just introducing you to kind of whet the appetite. A lot of things that we're going to talk about today, I'm a repeater. I'll say things 5, 6, 7, 8 times because number one, I want you to get it. You know, I want you, the whole key to what I want to see, I want to see you begin to walk in a greater level of honor. And if there's any dishonor that you might be hovering on the inside that you're not even aware of, that you can correct that dishonor and change it into honor, because dishonor has consequences. You know, I'll give you an example. You might have dishonor towards your parents, and they might not have been the best parents, but they gave you life. And they're a life-giving source. And you're to honor them. The Bible says to honor your mother and father so that your days on the earth will be long, so that they go well with you. That's just a spiritual principle. You can't go around a spiritual principle. You know, you need to, in certain areas in your life, we just need to show honor. Because when you show honor, guess what? You're going to receive. And that's so very important that we understand that principle. Amen. All right, let's see. Make sure I cover all my key points here. All right. This is really what every Increasing Word Training Center is all about. Receiving the information added to the revelation, like I said, will equal impartation in your life. All of these classes are designed to help you receive the needed impartation from the Apostles' class. So if you qualify, you can be a candidate for the anointing and the mantle that's upon the apostle's life. You must be willing to endure the awesome price to receive that mantle, but it is worth it. Isaiah 55:1, but Isaiah 55:1 says, "Lo, everyone that thirsted, come to the water, and he that had no money, come ye by. And eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." What's that saying here in Isaiah 55:1? He says, when you are thirsty, he says to come to the water and come, and he that had no money, come ye buy. You see, the anointing, it's going to cost you. The anointing is, you can't buy the anointing. But it's going to cost you everything you got. You understand what I'm saying? You can't buy it, know, there were people who tried to buy the anointing. But it's more than money to be offered, because with the anointing comes the blessing, comes all you need. Amen. Comes, you know, just walking in a victorious life. But it's going to cost you. You've got to be thirsty for it. You know, if you're not hungry and thirsty for the things of God, you know, if the Bible says those people who are hungry and thirsty after life, don't be the ones that's going to be filled. So you got to have a hunger, you know. And I don't even like hanging around people that don't have a thirst, because I don't want their unthirstiness to rub off on me, you know. And that's why it's so very important to really kind of, you know, mind people who your friends are. You know, I have people that I love here, but I love from a distance, because we're not going in the same direction. And see, all of that can affect your honor. It can affect how well you serve and how well you obey. Because, you know, I never forget something Dr. Carlos told me years ago, well, a couple years ago, before one of the master visions, and I went to him and I spoke to him, his honor. And he said, Brother Calvin, he said, there are many voices out there to the scripture, and none of them are without significance. And so there's always voices, you know, distractions and things trying to lead us in different ways, you know. But we know, we need to know how to hear His voice and how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, because it's so easy to be distracted by like I said, by voices of people or situations. Stay on track for God and do what God has called us to do. Because in your life, you're never going to be satisfied. No matter what you do, you're never going to be satisfied. See what I'm saying? Until you fulfill the will of God. You know, there's no greater satisfaction, there's no greater joy than to walk in God's divine will. When you know you're doing what God's called you to do, you're more anointed than any other time in your life. Because whoever God anoints, whoever God calls, He's going to equip you to do the will that He's called you to do. You know, but in order to do that, you have to submit and you have to walk in awe. You just can't do it on your own. No man is an island. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, God has anointed me. I've ministered to people. I've laid hands on people. I've seen people get healed. Remember, the Bible says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. But at the same time, God will call you to a brook or to a man of God or a woman of God that's greater than you, so that you can glean and so that you can submit and you can honor. And so what's on their life now can be transferred to your life, so it can propel you to do what God has called you to do. Amen? All right. Honor releases the blessing. And the blessing is all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do. Honor releases the blessing. Dishonor releases the curse. And I'm going to put it to you like this. Dishonor uncovers you and exposes you to whatever Satan has out there for you. You know, because see, when you walk in dishonor, it's not that God is putting a curse on you, but you just walk away from the umbrella. You know, when it's raining and you put that umbrella up, that umbrella protects you from the elements. You know, but when you walk in dishonor, you just put your umbrella down. Because, you know, God can't bless you when you're in dishonor, you know. And that's so very important. I wondered for several years teaching this class, and you'll probably notice it in the weeks, in the months to come. Even though this class is on honor, when I get into the meat of the class, I begin to teach more on dishonor. And I say, Lord, why I can't get off of this? And then this past camp meeting, Bishop Daniel Robinson taught on basically on the consequences of dishonor. And one thing I learned, I said, Lord, the light came on. He said, when people learn what is dishonor and what they shouldn't be doing, then you basically you just do the opposite. And it's so easy to just, okay, take an about face and say, okay, I haven't been walking in honor, Father. I haven't been serving my man or my woman of God like I should, you know. And could that be why? Let's go to a verse of scripture. Proverbs 26:2. It says, as the bird by wandering, and as the swallow by flying, so the curse causes shall not come. There is always a reason why the curse comes on a person's life. You know? So now we want to begin to sow the seeds of honor that will allow the blessings of God to come on our life and abide. When you sow seeds of honor, now I want to qualify that. You sow seeds of honor by sowing monetary blessings. That's a form of honor. I'll give you an example. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, the apostles' class. Go and you sow on that altar, you're sowing a seed of honor, you know. And what that seed, you know, we were talking about this in a minute. What that seed will do is it opens the door for you to receive more. Your capacity to receive what he's pouring out just expanded. Because, you see, he's sowing into our lives spiritual things. And when he sows spiritual things, it's of a necessity that we sow our crop because the laborer is worthy of the hire, the word says. So you sow an honor. You know, you have to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. You know, because God has blessed. You know, this is all a part of apostolic government. You know, as I stated earlier, and I kind of alluded about the military, but coming up in traditional circles, you know, I remember people getting impressed. Oh, we all equal. We all, you know, we all God's children. God can speak to me just like he can speak to you. Yeah, but God speaks to some people with more volume. Like God told Miriam about Moses. You know, I speak to him mouth to mouth. You know, not in a similitude or not in dark speeches. When God told Miriam, he said, when I speak to Moses, I speak to him mouth to mouth. You know, so who are you to try to come against Moses because of who he married? You know, in Numbers chapter 12, we're going to talk about that. But that was dishonor. Even though Miriam was Moses' sister, she was the one that put Moses in the Nile or the river, and the queen found him, and she was the one who went and got Moses' mother to be his I guess, you know, his sitter and help raise him for the queen, you know. So according to the author, if you read the book, she was Moses' intercessor. But even so, because of the natural ties, it did, because God's anointing was placed upon Moses. When Moses went and saw that bush burning, and he went and had an encounter with God, God called him, you know, and had a plan for his life. So honor supersedes natural. You know, there's a distinction, you know, and I see it with the first family. When you know, even though Dr. Montrell, Dr. Lilo Jr., even though Apostle is their physical father, but they recognize a higher calling and that apostolic calling. So they submit to him just like we submit to him as a spiritual father, which is a greater calling, because that calling will have impact not only in this life, but in the life of the world for eternity. And that's very important that we understand that. Let me move on. Galatians 6:10, I'm going to read a few passages of scripture. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That word communicate means to reciprocate. If you ever remember your geometry, 1 over 5 reciprocated is 5 over 1. So basically, reciprocate. Flip it over. So it says here, he that is part of the word communicate unto him that teacheth all things. And like I said, communicate. to reciprocate by sowing into their lives. It doesn't mean talking to them. You know, I talk to you, you talk to me. No, when the man of God communicates, you need to reciprocate. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, that's verse 7. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth unto the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You will reap in due season if you faint not. That word faint not means give up, cave in, and quit. And a lot of times, you might be sowing, you might be doing what God called you to do, and it's easy, if you look at the natural, to give up, cave in, and quit. You know, but he says you're going to reap. When you continue to sow honor, you know, and continue to pour out your life, like I said, it's going to cost you. You know, and how thirsty are you? You know, but when you continue to seek after the anointing and do what you know to do from a spiritual perspective, it says you're going to reap if you faint not. Verse 10 says, and as we have therefore opportunity, every time you have an opportunity, listen to this, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You can sow, this is just a paraphrase. You can sow what is called a do good seed. It says, when you have opportunity, let us do good unto them, especially them of the household of faith. You know, and you can sow. When you're sowing a seed of honor, you're sowing, at the scripture, you're doing good. So, sowing seeds of honor is a good thing. Amen? It goes on to say, there is always a reason why any consequences and occurrences, which is a curse, happen in a person's life. Could it be we're not properly honoring the men and the women of God that God has placed in our life? You know, or the leadership that God's placed over us. Listen to this next statement. When you put your mouth on a man of God, you have sown a tremendous seed of dishonor. And not just your man of God, any man of God. You know, you don't want to put your mouth on a man of God. I remember some 20 plus years ago, back when we were in the first or the second sanctuary, I'm not going to go into detail, but there was a minister who had gotten into some error, that's all I'll say. And I remember the apostle made a statement, he told the congregation, don't put your mouth on him. Even though he may be wrong, that's for God to deal with, not you. It's not our place to correct those who God has put in place. You know, God has said, you see, when the apostolic order is set up properly, apostolic order will correct apostolic, you know, and that's why government is so very important. You know, one of the things an apostle does is they correct doctrine, the grace doctrine. People went off in left field, and so Paul, the apostle Paul, when you read the New Testament, he always went to a church, and if they was in error, like if they was in sin or something like that, he hit it right there, you know. He said, kick him out the camp, you know, so that, you know, and let him fall into this temptation so that his soul can be spared. Because he was in fornication, acting, you know. But that's what the apostolic does. It sets in order. It's a foundational norm to keep God's kingdom flowing properly, the way God ordained it and designed it to do. So you never want to put your mouth on a man or woman of God. It's going to bring tremendous dishonor to your life. And it's something actually that the apostle said yesterday in our service. He said people don't have a problem respecting God, but not respecting God's servant, you know, is another thing. You know, if you can't respect God's servant, you're really not respecting God, because that's who God has sent. You know, how can you respect and honor somebody you can see and respect God who you've never seen? You know, so it's so very important that we respect and honor those whom God has put in our midst. Amen. I remember something Kenneth Hagin said in his books. He said, if I can't say anything good about a person, I won't say nothing. He said, if somebody calls a person's name out, he said, what you say about brother so-and-so?
I know.
That's all he would say. You know? Keep your mouth on. That's one way to stay out of trouble. You know? I mean, you don't know about your tongue, how it's unruly. But the only way you can rule it is by the Spirit of God. You know? And when you stay in the Spirit and you continually walk in love, you don't have to worry about your tongue. And like I said, you can't say nothing good about somebody. Amen. Yeah, I know him. What you know about me? I know him. That's all I can say. Amen. All right, let's move on. Honor, this is another mistake. Honor needs to be displayed in our life, on every level, and in every circle of life. From the apostolic, to honor the White House, to even in your personal house. You know, children honoring parents, parents honoring those people who God has placed in authority over them. Because you see, what happens is, if honor is not taught from a infancy stage, it breeds dishonor. It just grows. You know, there's things I remember as a kid, 5, 6 years old, sitting on the porch with my grandmother, and people, that's when everybody used to walk in. And so, ladies would be walking down the street, and my grandmother would be out the matriarch of the community. She said, hey, darling, how you doing? She knows everybody. You know? And so, I'm 5, 6 years old. She said, hey, darling, how you doing? I said, hey, darling. Don't you, you know, I mean, it was just automatic, you know. But what that taught me, to respect older people, even honoring the elderly. There's scriptures, and we're going to get into that. There's scriptures that talk about the gray-headed man, the hoary-headed man, you know, not to dishonor them because of their years. See, there's things you can learn from those who have years that can save you a lot of pitfalls. But when you dishonor them, you're going to have to go through a pitfall yourself. You know, there's consequences in dishonor. When you get, like I said, when you dishonor your parents, your natural parents, you're going to go through, first of all, you're not going to live your full life. You're not, the Bible says, you know, you're not going to live the 120. You continually, and you have aught against them. One of the scriptures I try to live with is, I never let the sun go down on my wrath. If I got fought with somebody, we're going to settle it today. There was a song by a group, but it said, just between you and me, I got something to say, you know, and it really goes to end, you know, we're going to get it straight before the sun goes down, you know, because it's going to lead into my way of freedom. You know, you want to stay free, you know, don't, because whatever sin you retain, even though it wasn't your fault, but if you retain it and you hold it against somebody, you're going to find yourself walking in that same thing. I've seen that happen with good ministers who got in off with another minister. And even though they was right, they never resolved it in their heart. And the same adulterous sin that other minister got into, they went into it themselves. You know, I mean, people I know. You know, so you know, honor, like I said, not to be honored in God, and honor and respect. That's so very important. Let's move on. Glory to God. There, and I talked about this, but this is important. There is a difference between levels, ranks, positions of delegated authority and anointing. We're all not equal. We need to learn how to tell the difference, know who's in authority, so we can properly show honor to those who are in authority. Members in the body of Christ are not all equal in rank. You know, we talked about Miriam already. You know, because she thought she was equal with Moses because they were blood family. She thought she had a right to speak into Moses' life and tell him who he can marry. But God called Miriam and Aaron on the carpet and stripped her with leprosy, you know, to put her straight, because Moses is my man, and I tell Moses what to do. If I'm okay with holding a man black woman, well, then you should be okay with me.
She was Ethiopian.
I hadn't seen very many white Ethiopians.
Okay. Not to say that there isn't any. All right, let's move on.
All right. Sowing seeds of honor. Okay, this is it.
This scripture here is the premise, and it's found in Genesis. Genesis 8:22, if you want to turn there. It's the law of Genesis. Everything will reproduce after its own kind. Everything will reproduce after its own kind. In Genesis 8:22, it says, while the earth remains, as long as the earth is circling around its axis, it says that seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, so as long as we're existing here on this earth, The spiritual law of seed time and harvest will not cease. That's a spiritual principle. When you sow honor, you're sowing seed, and you're going to reap of the seeds that you sow. You know, that's a spiritual principle. With all that said, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. You never want to go, because that's an opportunity for you to get blessed. You know, you never want to go. Whenever your pastor, you know, your apostolic source, the apostle, when you're in his presence, if you got a seed to sow, that's an opportunity to sow. That's an opportunity for blessing. I'm gonna give you some scriptures behind that. 1 Samuel 9:6-8 with Saul and Samuel. Saul sent on a mission to find some donkeys that got lost. His father sent him out for some of the service. And I'm going to just read it. It says here, this is verse 6, I think it is. 1 Samuel 9:6. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. So a man of God is an honorable man. That's what scripture says, okay? And all that he says surely comes to pass. Yes? Now, y'all agree with me? All that he says surely comes to pass. All right, I'm just reading scripture, you know? I mean, you know, we got the Bible living before us. One of the things the apostle, I remember he made, is one thing to read scripture, and when I was, you know, in the primary class, I was Baptist, and I used to teach when I moved to the intermediate, I used to teach the primary class. It's one thing to know all those good Bible stories, but it's another thing to see those Bible stories come alive to where now you can apply. It's not just a story, but all of those scriptures were there for our learning, so we can see how we're to react, how we're to take scripture and make things happen. Amen. All right. So anyway, it says here that you know that the man of God was an honorable man, and all that he said shall surely come to pass. Now let us go hither. Free adventure. He can show us how the way that we should go. All right. And verse 7 says, then said Saul unto his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For we have no bread. The bread is spent in our vessels, and we have not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? In other words, Saul says, I'm empty-handed. But his servant says, hey, I got some silver tucked away. I got a little extra here that we can go and we can present it to the man of God. He'll show us our way to go. His servant says, and the servant answered Saul and said, and behold, I have here in my hand a four-part shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God, that he will tell us our way. They went before Samuel with an offering of honor. You know, in other words, even in the natural, whenever the president or, say, a prime minister or a dignitary, or you go before the Queen of England, it's customary to bring a gift. You know, when somebody even invites you to their house for Christmas or a celebration, it's customary. You know, in certain cultures, we kind of got away from it in this society. But it's customary to bring a gift. You know, that's just showing your reverence and respect for even considering, you know, for having an audience with me. You know, that's honor. That's honor. You know, and you see, when we get back to honor, then all of a sudden now, the things you just think about, you don't even have to pray about it anymore. Because you walk in honor. Let me share something with you. But I guess about 2-3 years ago, I started having some, I'm trying to make it as sensible as possible, just complications in my body. You know, what was going on? So I went to the doctor. The doctor examined me. And 4-5 minutes later, he said, you're going to need an operation. I'm going to have you go to a specialist, but you're going to have to be operated. Long story short, I walked out of his office, and without even praying, all I said, Lord, I'm an instructor to the ministry, like this third year or so. I said, I don't have time to be operated on, because I don't want to disappoint my man of God and tell him I got to step down for a season because I got to have some operation. If you call out a prayer, I just say, Lord, I don't have time for this. You know, I have a greater assignment to do. Okay, you see, that's where assignment is connected, and the Bible says if you're not faithful in another man's ministry, how do you expect the Lord to give you all? So my desire was to be faithful in my ministry, to do whatever I've been asked to do. You know, I go to the doctor the very next week, the specialist now. He flips me over, turns me inside out, and examines me. You know how they do. And he told me, he says, I really don't see nothing that bad. He said, you're not going to need surgery. He said, now, just eat more fiber, and you'll be fine. I did, and I had no, you know, it was completely gone. You know, and but here again is wanting to show honor, you know, and alignment is so important. You see, when you're aligned properly, you're in God's timing and in God's perfect will, and by doing so, you're showing honor. You see, you can sow honor by sowing a monetary gift. Our honor can be sown through time, through talent, and treasure being money. You know, your time, you know, coming in, and whenever they need volunteers to stuff letters or to work on the grounds or to do whatever, you sow in your time. That's honor, the apostolic. You know, your talent, whatever. You see, every good gift and every perfect gift coming down from the Father, God gave you that ability. Whether it's writing, whether it's whatever, you know, working video, editing, or whatever your talent, drummer, you know, whatever that talent is, you know, playing an instrument, God gave it to you to begin with. And you see, you honor God and you honor your man of God by using that gift, that talent, that ability for his glory, you know, undergirding your man or your woman of God. You know, God can help you. Amen? All right, let's move on. All right, I already told you, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed, right? Or without showing some kind of honor before. Very important. Don't forget that. If you forget that, you'll fail this class. You know, because I mean, that's just the bottom line. You know, you don't want to do that. All right. 6 minutes. All right. Galatians 6:7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know, it says, "If you have sown unto," if we have, this is 1 Corinthians 9:11. Now, he said, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it not a great thing that we reap of your carnal things?" You know, your money seed. You see, it's reciprocation. Getting back to what I was talking about, communicate. You know, when the word is coming forth, especially when you have a man of God that has a heaven to earth connection. When heaven, when he gets manna from heaven, and because of his vertical relationship with God, he now relates it horizontally to us. So now we can apply through our lives.
that's why instructions are so important. You know, it's so important to follow instructions.
All right, I only got 5 minutes left.
One thing I learned, this is also an area of honor. I don't like going 1 second over my time. You know, because if I'm given 50 minutes, I'm going to take 49 point whatever, you know, and I'm going to shut it down. Because, you know, it's disrespect, dishonor, and unless you give me permission, you know, when you stand in a position, you know, even as an instructor, or when you call the ball, I look at that as walking on pavement, you know, and I want to be like the barefoot priest. The barefoot priest, you know, when the priest went into the temple, they tied a rope around his leg. His foot was barefooted, and he had bells on his skirt, on his arm. And as long as he was moving and he heard the bells, they knew he was still alive. And every step he took was a, you don't want to do a misstep. Because God would forgive if you put in the prison. I have seen people who have been in the I've seen people even now who have done a misstep and never ministered to people. You know, this, you know, you don't want to misstep. You wanna step lightly before the anointing. You know, and that's all. You know. I have no problem getting in the way and then getting out the way. In other words, doing my assignment and backing off. You know, and that way you stay in a position of safety. Let me move on. 3 minutes and 9 seconds. Okay. This is probably my last point. The anointing of God always flows down. Okay? The anointing of God always flows down from the head to every part of the body of Christ. When you position and align yourself properly, the anointing, align yourself properly and honor the apostolic source, your man of God, in your life, that anointing will flow down into your life and elevate you to another level. I'll read that again. The anointing of God always flows down into every part of the body of Christ. You position yourself and align yourself properly and honor the apostolic source, which is basically your man of God, the apostle that you submit to. And if your pastor is submitted to the apostle, you're under apostolic order. So when you submit to your pastor, you submit to the apostle because it's proper alignment, okay? In your life, that anointing will flow down unto every part and elevate you to another level. I got scripture for that. Psalms 133 and 1 is talking about Aaron. Aaron was a high priest. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment. Ointment is another term for the anointing. It's like the precious ointment upon the head of Aaron that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that ran down to the skirt of his garment. All is symbolic of the anointing. Verse 3 says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended down upon Mount Sinai, for there the Lord commanded the blessing forever. So basically, Aaron was the high priest, and he was the one who was in charge. And that anointing down on him. And you know, his sons and people under him, as they positioned themselves properly behind Aaron, that anointing ran into them too. But if you're out of order and out of position, you're not going to get the anointing you need. You know, so it's very important, you know, when the Shekinah glory of God was on the mountain, they talked about how the top of the mountain was like smoke coming off the top of the mountain. That was the anointing. And that anointing ran down the sides of the mountain, you know. But when you position yourself properly, that anointing will come upon your life and saturate you. So you always want to
position yourself properly so that anointing will flow down on your life. Amen. 3, 2, 1. Be blessed.